This is the sound of football.
Yes, this is the sound of football, and coming up on this week's show, there's Tottenham. Are they really all that good? There's Burnley. Are they really going to stay up? And there's Chelsea. Are they really going to win the league? Aside from that, we'll be looking at the way the season's shaping up for several other Premier League teams, plus there's a look ahead to the best of this week's fixtures. All that on episode 3 of The Sound of Football. Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Sound of Football. My name's Chris Oakley, and once again I'm here with Terry DeFellin and Graham Sibley to rake over the coals of the football news from the last week. And it's been a busy week, hasn't it, chaps?
Yeah.
Tell you what, let's start off with the Premier League as ever. There were midweek and weekend games this week, and the upshot of it all is that Tottenham are top of the Premier League table. Their best start to the season since Jimmy Greaves had hair. I was lucky enough to see the game on ESPN. I'm a new subscriber, don't you know? If indeed lucky enough is the term I'm looking for, being a West Ham fan. The question now, of course, is how good are Tottenham? I have a feeling Graham's answer is going to be a bit biased, seeing as he's a Tottenham fan, so I'll come to you in a minute. So, Terry, what do you think?
I think that Tottenham are very good. I think that they've got a very interesting squad. Much is made of the four strikers that they have, and I think that they've got great potential for a good season. I don't think they're Champions League good necessarily, but I do certainly think that they're going to be very, very strong this season. They've done what Tottenham squads persistently refused to do, and that's start well. And they couldn't have had they couldn't have had a better start. So I think they're a decent side. There are some issues which perhaps we'll talk about. Maybe Graham will have. Graham's an Arsenal supporter, not a Tottenham supporter.
Sorry, I said Tottenham. Sorry, an Arsenal supporter.
And so he may have have a more critical perspective. Graham.
Go on, Graham.
Well, actually, I think Tottenham are pretty good, and I think they've been pretty good for about four or five seasons now. And the only blip they've actually had is the one day Ramos era, and I think you could that was obviously a mistake, and obviously could also have had rather a lot to do with the Dimitar Berbatov situation at the beginning of last season. But obviously Harry's got in there and he's turned them back into the team that they were when Martignol was there.
Having said that, just to jump in, I mean the Martignol's last season rather didn't start too well either. That's not to say that he's a bad manager, of course. I'm just saying that they have had a bad sort of start to the last couple of seasons. But there's no doubt about it. Harry Redknapp, I think, deserves credit just for kind of starting off from the start. Instead of like having a good season from sort of December onwards or something, he's actually got it right from the beginning.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, the general pattern is, I mean, the Juan de Ramos era aside, is that they have great, they do finish very strongly, have a good season. Tend to just stumble a bit out of the blocks at the early stages, okay, and perhaps catch up a little bit. But this time around, obviously, they've not. We're looking down at their squad. I mean, if you look at their attack, their midfield. It's a match for most teams in the Premier League, you'd have to say, wouldn't you? Perhaps if you were to look at their back four, you might raise a few eyebrows of concern.
I think they've certainly got decent centre backs there. They've got some of the best around with people like Levy King and Jonathan Woodgate. But they are, of course, made of glass, so.
Interestingly, I mean, I discovered via another podcast that Jonathan Woodgate made 34 appearances last season in the Premier League, which suggests that he is probably made of slightly stronger stuff than is generally known. Obviously, he's had those incredibly reinforced glass.
Well, and the Premier League we're talking about,
aluminium.
Not somebody else's Premier League. Oh, okay.
No. The one that, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, listen, when I was the Russian Premier League for a short stint during the summer. But that was a stat that I heard anyway. I mean, perhaps this Football Ramble podcast is wrong, in which case...
I wouldn't trust it, personally.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I should probably have checked. I should double check that stat on Wikipedia.
Yes.
That would have
been done.
For the benefit of the listeners at home, The Sound of Football is the only podcast that you can really trust.
And just for once, no other alternatives are available.
No.
Implicitly trust as well. Yeah. Now go to the kitchen and get the knife.
Bring us beer.
But they have got strength right the way through. I mean, you know, names to trip off the tongue, sort of Aaron Lennon, Tom Huddleston, and I'm sort of thinking of, you know, I mean, right up to the front, Jermaine Defoe and...
Wilson Palacios was a fantastic signing from Wigan. Brilliant player and just what they need as a team. And I mean, much is said about Harry's activities and you know, the kind of man he is. But I mean, he does produce battling, you know, relatively exciting football squads. And it does seem to have done that here. I mean, I would perhaps look to the goalkeepers.
Hey, no, look, I think Gomez is a good goalkeeper.
Well, I think Gomez is a good goalkeeper as well. I just think that he's, you know, prone to the odd gaffe. I think he's probably the only thing. I mean, superb shot stopper.
One of the best, apparently. He had some stat from last season was that he stopped more percentage of shots than or a number of shots than anyone else in the league at one point, I think.
And that's a non-football ramble stat.
That's
the stat you can take to the bank, listen.
Yeah, plucked from the air, completely unsubstantiated.
That's a Sound of Football stat.
I don't get much more well researched than that.
It's a step up from Terry. I didn't see any of that match last week. I was watching the Sci-Fi Channel.
Can I just stress that I did actually watch a lot of football last week, just none of the football matches we talked about on the podcast.
Well, it serves you right for not looking at the research.
Are we completed on how good Tottenham are then? I mean, like,
let's move on.
Well, can I just say, because this was the only game that I did see in its entirety this week, the West Ham tie.
Yeah, how we have to, no, sorry, because we must find out European on West Ham, particularly that killer ball from Colgate.
Gate. Yes. The first half, I just thought the difference between the two teams was that West Ham just couldn't get the ball into the final third, so there was nothing to talk about in terms of how good Tottenham's defending were. They didn't really have to do any defending, whereas Tottenham were getting the ball into the final third at West Ham's end, but West Ham were defending everything pretty comfortably until the second half when it all went a bit loopy. My opinion of Carlton Cole has never been all that good. I have to say, I'm really kind of... If West Ham are putting all their eggs into that particular basket, then I think we've got trouble for this year, and we really do need to buy one or two new strikers. When he scored, he was my best friend. It was a tremendous goal that he scored against Tottenham on the weekend. But the fact that he just nullified that so horrifically badly, just, you know, returned the status quo, as far as my opinion of him is concerned. It was just hideous.
What do you think happened? People make sloppy passes before. I mean, you know,
England against Holland, yeah,
midfielders for a start, yeah. But that wasn't just a sloppy pass. That was a killer ball. You know, into the box.
It was pretty unerringly accurate, wasn't it? You know, in terms.
What possessed him? Do you think? I know you're not actually friendly, so you don't know.
No, absolutely. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemies. I don't know. I just see the ironic thing is that I find with him is that his ball control. He's so clumsy. I don't know if it's because he's so gangly or whatever, but you give him the ball and he spends half an hour just trying to get it from his feet. So the fact that he actually managed to hit this pretty much first time straight into the path of Jermaine Defoe is just beggars belief, quite honestly.
He got turned around, didn't he, and forgot which way he was kicking.
I think he must have. It's just one of those kind of giddy moments that you have sometimes.
He got himself all turned around and forgot which direction he was kicking. I bet you that's what happened.
Yeah.
He just had this momentary lag. Presumably that's his England career cooked. I mean, you can't have people who are just like do stupid, oafish things like that.
I mean,
I wouldn't be so sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, no, surely Michael Owen is now, you know, back in the England frame after pressing the enrage button on his back.
No, I just don't understand. We just need to get shot of him, really. I mean, how he... Everyone was raving about him on the basis of him scoring 8 goals last year or whatever it was. I think it was only no more than about 8 or 9. And I'm like, well, since when did that ever be, set the world on fire? So, and yet he still gets the odd goal now and then. But Tottenham were actually good, very good.
So before we move on then, Tottenham good, in for a very good season.
Top four, no.
Possibly top six. Yeah. Top six.
I'd agree with that.
If they carry on the way they're playing, it's absolutely, yeah. No. Certainly.
Let's move on then.
Let's move on. I mean, as well as that, we've got the sight of Burnley now in 7th place. 2 wins out of 3, both of them against Man U and Everton. So is it the usual sort of silly season where a newly promoted team goes on an early and, shall we say, abnormal run of form? Have the critics missed something here, do we think?
Well, I suppose you've got to look at the same thing happened to Hull, didn't it, last year? They had some very, very impressive results. But I don't think you can be that surprised by Burnley because of the performances they put in last season in the cups, especially at Turf Moor, where they turned over more than a couple of clubs. And you know, I only watched the highlights of the Man United game and the Everton game, but pretty much, you know, they seemed like they're tidy selves, and you know, the goal against Man United was fantastic. So not, I'm not really that surprised. Whether it's, I mean, like, you know, they struggled to maintain their cup form in the league, so. I don't know how it's going to pan out for them over the season.
Interestingly, they've had, because if anything, they may have perversely benefited from their difficult start to the season.
Yeah.
So the trip to Stoke away is never going to be easy on an opening day, and then the two really difficult, you know, the top four teams where they can really pump up and raise their game for it, just like they did in the cups. Now, you know, for them, of course, and this is the age-old issue with any newly promoted team, or with any team in any league, is that you know, your main priority is to take points off your rivals for whatever it is you're trying to achieve. And in this instance, that's, you know, that's going to presumably be the relegation, the fellow relegation candidates around them, and how they fare with those. But I mean, nobody should be surprised that they play really good football and they beat really good teams, because, as you say, Graham, they were doing it last season. So why shouldn't they do it this season? But of course, over the piece of 9 months, no, that's a different story. So,
but I think if they can
early points, though, yeah.
If they can go through the season though, losing less than eight games at home, which, you know, looking at their performances, that seems perfectly doable. If they can manage that, then they've got every chance of staying up. And finishing comfortable.
While we haven't seen, obviously, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to see every team in the Premier League yet, and certainly not on a live basis. It would suggest that there are probably, even now, it's fair to say that there are worse teams than Burnley right at this moment.
On current form.
On current form. So, yeah, I mean, maybe the people will be re-evaluating that over the course of the piece.
Indeed, a tough Carling Cup tie away to Hartlepool tomorrow night, and then a really easy one against Chelsea at the weekend for Burnley. And Chelsea also level on points with Tottenham at the top, 9 points out of 9. Drogba looks good.
The whole setup looks really good. They really look on it. I mean, they've got a fantastic experience. Really able team, you know. They're all comfortable with each other now, I think it will be difficult to see past Chelsea. I'm now in a position to, having seen Man United, having seen Chelsea.
Yeah.
know, I think Chelsea look just that much more complete as a football team rather than as opposed to United. Yeah. Certainly Liverpool.
They've gone up in my estimation. I didn't really rate them that highly before the start of the season, but I've seen them and they've been absolutely superb.
I think Ancelotti as well is they're playing this quite famed diamond system, but given the amount of attacking central midfielders they've got, it seems like pretty much a no-brainer. I mean, if you've got people like Deco and Balak and Lampard in the team, then you want to try and get as many of them on the pitch as possible, and you're not going to be able to do that effectively if one or two of them are wandering around wide.
While there are concerns about the lack of width, no squad is perfect and no lineup is perfect. Yeah. There will always be deficiencies, even in the finest and the greatest football teams. Any deficiencies that Chelsea have, you feel that they will be able to overcome them with what they have, what they can offer.
I think the attacking options and the midfield options. I think it also plays into their hand because this is real. Sort of focus through the middle, I think allows Drogba and Anelka to play together, because it gives them more range to move out wide as well.
Indeed, the sort of Drogba and Anelka can't play together. Well, actually, they can, and I mean, this is because the manager has, as you say, Graham, has devised a system which allows the two to play together, and with potentially devastating consequences for everybody else.
Well, I mean, we've even seen sort of Deco going back to the four a little bit, sort of in recent times.
But I mean, that was when you get a player like that, all it needs is a good man manager to come in and just sort it out with him. I mean, whatever the old cliche is, put your arm around him or whatever,
make him feel wanted,
rock it up him, make him feel absolutely, whatever it is that you do, or just simply start everybody from scratch. I mean, new managers come in, press the reset button, everybody starts from scratch, nothing else matters, what else happened before, why would Deco want to leave? He's in a high paid job in one of the strongest leagues in the world, and Champions League and Championship contenders, why on earth would you want to leave that gig?
I think another thing is that he's got the team playing, but they're getting better as they go. We're only three games in, but the first two games they conceded the first goal, but they came back and really dominated both games. But in the last one against Fulham, local derby, going away and coming back winning 2-0 quite comfortably in the end.
They controlled that game. Fulham were at it, as you can imagine. They were quick to close him down. They worked incredibly hard, as you expect Roy Hodgson's team to do. But they were second best all the way through. Chelsea were in complete control of that game. You think if Fulham had done anything to annoy them, they would have just scored more goals. I think that was an excellent result. Local derby under those conditions, really, really good result for them.
And I think the defence looking good as well. I think and the defence looking pretty good as well. I think so. Ashley Cole's certainly playing very well from what I've seen of him.
There's never really been too much question about the defence, really, when it's all fit and healthy.
John Terry, of course, as we know,
Terry and Carvalho at the back. I mean, they're really
two very decent defenders, excellent defenders, in fact. I think John Terry is massively overrated. His legendary status is massively overstated, but he is an extremely useful defender.
Yeah, but luckily, I think Carvalho is extremely underrated.
Yeah,
it balances it out, doesn't it? Really,
it does balance it out somewhat. Yeah, and I guess if they can keep Carvalho fit. Over the course of the season, I guess that's they're only. But then they've got Alex, haven't they? Not rubbish.
No. Certainly not.
What I was going to say, just adding on from the weekend fixtures, is what do people think about Martinez now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it is genuinely too soon to say.
Yeah.
Manchester United were obviously going to bounce back. Wigan are Manchester United's bunnies traditionally.
Yeah.
They had a great result against Villa, who were I understand. we're really bad. Yeah. So I mean, you just can't sort of get any indication as to what is going to happen there at all. I would be worried if I was a Wigan supporter. But I think I'd have been worried at the beginning of the season anyway. New manager, young manager, unfamiliar, inexperienced at Premier League level. You're going to be concerned, aren't you? In a club like Wigan, they have a bad start to the season. They're in the wrong end, and it's a Herculean effort to get themselves out of it if they find themselves in that. But they have got 3 points on the board already, despite what happened. So you know, let's revisit Wigan in a couple of weeks' time.
I saw them, which was pretty much just the game against Villa. They actually looked really, really good. I can't say I saw much of them against was it Wolves and Man U, but I think there's something there. And actually, in that first game, it looked like Martinez had got them playing in a sort of fresh, new kind of way, which boded well for the future. Mm. But as you say, it's perhaps a little bit.
We also don't know how good Wolves are. We've assumed that Wolves will be rubbish. we've all assumed that. This isn't even a question of sneering at the media and saying, look at them, they were wrong about Burnley, they're wrong about Wolves. I was convinced that Wolves would drop like a stone. But they seem to have a little bit more about them. So we'll just have to see who's good and who's bad.
That win against Wigan, was that McCarthy's first Premiership win in 39, I think it was?
It was indeed.
I think when they lost their first game, because he went on a 37-game losing streak when he was manager of Sunderland. Over the space of two seasons, and he missed out on the 38th game just so he couldn't have a whole season of it. But I think when they lost the first game, that was the 38th one.
Yeah. So that is officially your second Sound of Football fact.
That's an onion bags fact.
Oh, onion bags.
That was one that Graham dug up before when he slated Mick McCarthy in the onion bags.
We actually got him sacked.
That's a fact.
Third fact.
Mick McCarthy doesn't speak to our intrepid reporter Larry Gatt anymore because we got him sacked. But I mean, in fairness to Mick McCarthy, managers are allowed. People do, in theory, they do learn and they grow. And, it's not... Although he comes across as this... He's got this kind of gruff Yorkshireman persona which suggests that he's immovable, and unshakable. But, he is entitled to sort of, like, look back upon his career and say... Bayek's like, I messed up there, didn't I? And so on. And find out what happened and where he did things wrong and maybe try and do things differently this time around. And maybe Wolves will be a different thing this time.
I'd like them to just sort of stay up just by the skin of their teeth, so I think they'll do it.
I mean, who else is down there that's really, really bad? Do we know? I mean, Birmingham.
Blackburn.
Yikes. I'd fancy Wolves over Blackburn, from what we've seen so far. And over Birmingham, who just look, I mean,
Portsmouth,
avoidable.
Of course, they're going.
I mean, it's where we are at a stage already where we're looking at, like, it's the bottom two, isn't it, really? Because the third place is already occupied. The third relegation spot is already occupied, and we don't really have to, unless something pretty miraculous. I mean, that takeover could happen tomorrow, and they could inject £100 million into the transfer squad, and it might not save them because there's only six or eight days to go before the window.
Yeah, it's not long to go now.
No, they've lost so many players, and they haven't got the beginnings of a squad to build on. Even if the takeover goes through, they're boned. They're absolutely boned. When you look at Blackburn, and you're not too happy about it. You worry for them if you're the kind of person that worries about Blackburn.
All the time.
I don't know. I'm not convinced by Birmingham at all.
They can go back down again.
I don't think anybody will be genuinely unhappy.
I don't think even Birmingham fans will be genuinely that unhappy with.
I think that they enjoy being.
Oh
unhappy.
God, they do. Yeah.
I think most Birmingham fans really relish in misery.
They do. They loved it when they were missing out on promotion all those seasons.
One thing they love more than anything else is looking at Villa and going, and they'll have plenty of opportunity to do that this season and in the season.
Well, now we've lost half our fans from England's second city, we'll move on to the next topic of conversation. What about Bolton? Bolton have slipped down a bit. Do you think that this, Gary Megson, has he kind of lost the touch now? Do you think, are they in any danger of going down this year?
I haven't seen Bolton. I mean, have you seen Bolton, Graham? Have you actually had a look at them this
season? I've only seen them on the highlights packages. They look like they've got the same amount of huff and puff as they normally have. I think Bolton have got good players. They're just not playing as well as they should be, I don't think, at the moment. There are certainly teams around there that are worse than them, and I think that's what they've got to hold on to, is the fact that, like, they will get wins this year.
Yeah, I think that they'll turf them out, but I mean they'll be few and far between, but they will get them. And we haven't talked to, but since we seem to be having an impromptu relegation candidate discussion, it would be remiss to not leave out Hull, wouldn't it?
Well, absolutely. I've got them as sort of second to bottom, and it was amazing. I thought they managed to score against Chelsea in the first game of the season, let alone anything else.
I think Phil Brown actually admitted after the game that they played worse at Chelsea last season, and got a draw out of it. But I think they were completely outclassed against Chelsea, and it was like they got the goal early doors. But I mean, Chelsea had what, something like about 30 chances on goal in the game.
Still in all, Chelsea had needed some kindness from the fourth official to get the winner. Yeah. Though, you know, that shouldn't be forgotten. But they were. Hull was slaughtered by Tottenham, and although they managed to address the situation at the weekend. Yeah. The pattern of relegation candidates is definitely, there's quite a few there, isn't there? There's Portsmouth, there's Blackburn, there's Bolton, there's Birmingham, there's Hull, there's Wolves. There's a lot, and only three people to go down. Three teams to go down. Two, in fact, as long as if we count Portsmouth already down. So then you know, it's could be quite a tasty relegation scrap this season. In fact, it could be quite a tasty season this season.
Yeah, could
with everything that's going on at City and Tottenham making a good start.
I think the only thing that would stop that is if Chelsea do start to run away with it, and you know, they do have that potential, I think, this year.
Yep, that's a good shout. It's a good possibility. Although I suppose there could be a degree of shenanigans involved with the top four.
Yeah.
I don't know what the score is at Anfield right now. We're recording this.
It's still 2-0.
Villa are playing. It's still 2-0, and that's coming close to the end.
3-1. 3-1. Sorry.
What happened?
What?
What? Sorry.
3-0. And there's been two goals at Anfield. And which way have they gone,
Graham? both ways.
I'm so terribly sorry. I seem to have nodded off.
What was that?
So I'm just.
Well, we apologise for the breaking service there.
Well, yeah, sorry. Yes, the sound of football always first. With
there was a
results.
Penalty to Aston Villa. So all right. So well, Fernando Torres got one back for Liverpool, but then there was a penalty to Aston Villa, a penalty at Anfield. Stephen Gerrard, rush of blood to the head, cancels out all that good work. Liverpool skipper loses the ball in the midfield, and in his desperation to atone for it, he dives in very, very rashly on Nigel Riacocca. Ashley Young sends Pepe Reina the wrong way from the spot. Thank you, Caroline Cheese of the BBC.
Who got the consolation for
Torres?
Torres, sorry, gotcha. Who was taking a bit of a battering in the first half. I saw the
first half. He was a bit. I suppose he was getting the sort of attention that someone like Torres really is going to expect to get, isn't he, I suppose, in the game. So
yes, indeed. Well, he's still all black and blue after his shenanigans at Stoke.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe
but there was lots of amusing shenanigans at the end of the first half when an obvious corner was.
I saw that. That was ridiculous.
That was utter
It was quite clearly he shot it, and it came and it hit.
Yeah, bounced off Skirtle, almost right angle.
Went over there, and Reina did his nut and said, "There's never a corner."
Yeah,
went
kicked
up there,
it out.
Effing and blinding, And then
Benitez is complaining, well, why haven't you called time? It's like, because your goalkeeper punted it halfway out the bloody pitch.
Yeah, well, so Liverpool in for a bit. Ooh, blimey. Well, if that stays where it is, then I guess we can't rule.
If that stays where it is, Liverpool are 3 points from four games, which is sort of like sinking adrift almost.
And our friend Chris Knee from Two Footed Tackle will have to have a think about his position.
Well, Villa, who've had an unconvincing start, suddenly leapfrog above Liverpool.
But that's the amazing thing about the start. The start of this season, like most seasons, you get one result, and a lot of people, probably myself included, from time to time, kind of think, okay, so they've won their first match, that means they will be good this season, and then the second match totally kind of goes against it, and vice versa, and just goes to prove that perhaps with Villa here.
That's right. I mean, a lot of what we're saying, of course, is absolute rubbish, because,
that's our prerogative,
it's so early
this,
in the
this
season.
Point of the season. Yeah.
At this, I mean, I would imagine that there'll be plenty more rubbish to come, but for different reasons. and at the moment, the reason is because it's so early in the season that it's just, it's impossible to really get an eye that much. There isn't that much of a pattern forming, I don't think, at the moment, but obviously apart from a sort of relegation block and a kind of, Champions/Europa League block. We haven't talked about City in three podcasts, and because we've been talking for just over 30 minutes, we're not going to be able to talk about City again this time round.
Shall we vow to do that next time?
Maybe vow to talk about City next time
maybe
around.
Maybe next week can be the City edition.
But they're on the telly on Thursday against Palace.
That's right.
I shall be glued to that, watching that, and I don't know whether they're on next week. And I wanted to also do a quick preview of next weekend's Super Saturday as well. Do you suppose we've got time?
I think we have got time.
I think we've got
time.
For it. We should talk, because it's an absolute stonking Saturday of football.
Is this the one we referred to last week?
We did indeed. We've got Manchester United versus Arsenal, or is it Arsenal v Man United? Which one
is
it?
It's Arsenal versus Man U.
No, sorry.
It is Man U Arsenal, yes.
It's Man U Arsenal.
The other way around,
late kick-off on Saturday.
Okay. So that's 5:15 kick-off on Saturday, and then 15 minutes later, kicking off in Germany, it's Wolfsburg versus Bayern versus Wolfsburg.
Indeed.
Which is going to be an absolute killer fixture. The Bayern are in all kinds of trouble,
and
Wolfsburg got mullered 4-2 at the weekend, so it's going to be a huge game.
That was
game.
A big result, wasn't it, for Hamburg, wasn't it?
Yeah, big result for Hamburg, and an even bigger one for Mainz.
yes, indeed.
Who beat Bayern 2-1.
And Bayern still looking for their first victory, aren't they, of the season? So.
Yep, absolutely. Haven't won a game so far, and they'll be going into so it's going to be a huge game now. But of course, it's on at the same time as the game at Old Trafford. So that's going to be different. And then when that's all over, it's the Milan derby.
So absolutely stonking football from about 5 o'clock onwards on your
absolutely,
TV.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you have domestic political issues with watching football, it's like, no, that's fine, dear. You watch whatever you like, until 5 o'clock.
I think it's time for our listeners to man up and say, look, X Factor can just do one, okay? Right, I'm going to watch football all night.
You, my dear, will have the TV on Monday night. That's the way it works. Thank you very much.
For your curry and your EastEnders. There you go. Saturday night.
We all sound like big men.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We know what the truth is.
Luckily, I have a wife who loves the football. So.
Well, okay. So that's fine.
Should we just have a very quick sort of skip over there's plenty of football coming on, as we've just mentioned, or during the course of the week. In any case, we've got Champions League, we've got Europa League, and Carling Cup.
Let's give ourselves an extra 5 minutes.
Why not?
We're having such fun. It'll be all right.
So yes, Champions League. We talked last week about Arsenal and Celtic. Of course, 2-0. It ended up to Arsenal in the end. Pretty much all you expected, Graham.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the goals were very, very fortunate, but I think Arsenal didn't look in serious problems throughout any part of the game, I didn't think. The much-vaunted Celtic crowd were entirely shut up by midway through the second half. So, but then again, Arsenal, although in big four terms, they do have a very sort of they do have a cheaply put together squad compared to Celtic. I mean, like, they are still multi-millionaires, though. I mean, you can see where the gap is growing between England and the big two from Scotland. So it was probably, you know, I don't think it really told us anything much about the two teams, but
yes,
probably a lot about the way that football is between the two countries.
So we're looking sort of early goal, shut up shop, job done.
Oh yeah, I reckon so. I mean, I don't see a problem. There should not be a problem there. But yeah, mm-hmm. that's just my opinion, though. Don't put your money on.
Yeah, Arsenal.
Somebody had to say it.
As for the Europa League action, didn't see any of them. Just had a good laugh at Villa losing away to Rapid Vienna.
Only
1-0,
though. So yeah.
An Austrian
team. But saying that, they'll turn that around. They'll win that on the night, 3-0 or something like that. Everton and Fulham won't have any problems coming through their ties either. So yeah,
no, they're well in front.
That's a playoff, isn't it, guys? So it's straight through to the group stage from there, isn't it?
Yeah. And the draw is on Thursday, I think.
Is it
Thursday morning? I think.
Thursday morning for the Europa
for
League,
both the Europa League and the Champions League, I think.
Probably must be Friday, mate, because if they're playing on Thursday, have the draw, can they? It'll be Friday, won't it? They usually are on a Friday.
I think the Champions League one might be on Thursday, actually. Still, and the Europa League might be separate.
And that's for the group,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tasty. Well, maybe if we're around on Thursday, we should live blog that.
Okay,
cool.
If I'm around on Thursday, I might live blog that. On the, some people on the pitch.
Right. Watch that space.
Cool.
And just to we mentioned sort of the Bundesliga earlier on. A couple of ties in the Europa League just affecting German teams. Your take on these chaps very quickly. Werder Bremen, a remarkable scoreline last week, beat Aktobe of Kazakhstan 6-3 at home. Do you foresee any problems there, Tell? It went like, what was that all about?
I have absolutely no idea. Who knows? Who knows what Werder Bremen will do? They're a jack in the box of a team and a club. Yes, you would suggest that a Bundesliga club would be able to go through
with
there.
Three goal
okay,
advantage.
They've started reasonably well in the Bundesliga, I think yes, I would be confident that Bremen goes. I certainly hope they go through. Mm. Because I think that there'll be tremendous value in the Europa League, and the Europa League as a contest needs lunatics like Thomas Schaaf and his comedy tactics of his Keegan style score and
to hell with the consequences.
Don't worry about that. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. So I sincerely hope so.
All right, and Hertha Berlin 2-1 down against Brøndby.
Well, I fancy Brøndby to do that. No worries. Yeah,
okay.
Hertha are rubbish.
And speaking of which, so Crystal Palace playing Man City on Thursday. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Man City winning that one, do we say, tentatively? Yes.
Yes, we do.
And surely a very gentlemanly and even-tempered situation on tomorrow night on Tuesday as West Ham play Millwall, I suspect, my team there. I'm sure that we...
Is that game on? That game on telly? It's not,
I don't
is
think it's on TV, no, not that I'm aware of.
That's a scandal.
That
game's got to be on
West
telly.
West Ham played Millwall probably for, I haven't checked, but it's got to be getting on for like 15 years or something now, probably. But and yeah, this is like manna from heaven for the local yobs.
Were they not up in the Championship when your lot were down?
I'm not sure. It might be more recent than that, but it just seems like long ago. But yes, West Ham v Millwall is just like been written in red ink on the hooligans' calendar for weeks. I suspect this is just
maybe it's on pay per view.
Well, yeah, I mean, forget Afghanistan. This is where the casualties are going to be
forget,
on Tuesday night.
Forget UFC and WWE.
Yeah,
this is your big pay per view fight, lads.
Right, let's just draw a line under this whole shoddy affair then. A very quick shout out before we go to some very nice people who've been saying some nice stuff about us. Foot Fanatico, I believe, at footfanatico.com. Should I spell that? FUTFANATICO. Footfanatico.com. Thanks for the words. Richard Whittle, A More Splendid Life, and Kartik at EPL Talk, and Red Ranta. You've all been terribly, terribly kind, and thanks for your support. And well, just leads to say that this podcast is now available via iTunes. Hey, come on, we've reached the nadir of these things.
We're there.
Basically, if you go to the Sound of Football blog site, which is soundoffootball.blogspot.com, or basically go to Some People on the Pitch and follow your nose from there, you'll find out how to get to iTunes, and you can download our weekly podcast from there if you so wish to do so.
Yep. If they're listening to this, won't they have already downloaded it?
Oh, yes, but I mean, for future purposes, you understand.
Yeah, they probably downloaded it from SoundCloud, maybe.
Yes.
And then, you know, it's just in the event of those that are downloading from SoundCloud, that it is now possible to subscribe via iTunes, if that's your point.
Okay. Indeed. And I reckon that's just about all, really, for episode 3 of The Sound of Football. Except to say that if you want to get in touch with us or comment on any of the subjects we discussed, feel free to drop us a line. We have an email address, which is sofpodcast@googlemail.com, or of course we have our Twitter channels. You can contact the three of us individually. It's at Chris Oakley, or at Graham Sibley, or at Red Duffman.
Don't contact me.
No, it's just not worth it. just go to, you've got addresses for our respective websites, which is at SPAOTP for Some People on the Pitch, and at Onion Bag. Hope that makes everything clear. It probably had the opposite effect, but never mind.
Or leave a comment on the blog.
Of course, yes. Goes without saying. Anyway, that's it. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Join us again for more of the same next week. Until then, it's goodbye from myself, Terry, and Graham. Goodbye.